You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Steve Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
Focus on your word, that you would empower us, that you would just continue to shed light, Lord God, that we would no longer function in darkness. Lord, we just thank and we praise you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, counsel, the fear of the Lord, the anointing of God, a keen discernment, the tongue of the learned, and the activation gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians, the first chapter. And we're going to start out at verse 3 and read all the way to verse 13 just for context. Amen. Amen. So Colossians, the first chapter, and I'm using the English Standard Version today. It reads like this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you. Indeed, in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does also among you, since the day you heard it, understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we're going to back up to verse 11, which says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Amen. Amen. And so today, we're going to talk about strength for life. Strength for life. And so when we think about our lives and we think about how God is continuously just encouraging us through his word that we are qualified. And so it erases a lot of the limits that we placed on ourselves. Amen. It erases a lot of the limits that we placed on ourselves. And so in this scripture, Paul is redirecting our focus to the source, to the genuine true source of sustaining power, the glorious might of God. And so we're going to look at how we can access God's strength every single day of our lives and why we should want to actually access his strength. And so when we look at Colossians 1 verse 11, it tells us that we were strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And so when we look at the word strengthened, that means to be made powerful, to be empowered. All right. And then it says with the power, strengthened with all power, which is the same word that you use for dynamite, dynamis. All right. And so you are made powerful with God's dynamite power, all right? That's the same power that actually does miracles, all right? And so it tells us that, one, we're not going to dig within ourselves, right? Because, see, human philosophy tells you to dig within yourself deep, and somehow you'll muster up from the gut, you'll muster up the strength. But how many know sometimes we get butterflies in our stomach when we come against tough situations? We get that weird feeling in our stomach where we just feel like, I don't know if I can do this. And so if it's on you, you ain't got nothing to work with. But because it's on God, it's not human effort. It is God's supernatural power that is working in you. And so he says, may you be strengthened with all power. So you are made powerful by God's power because you're connected to the source. All right. You're connected to the source. And so it's not merely willpower. It's God's power. And so that word might means dominion. It means sovereign power, strength that is victorious and irresistible. And so when we look at this, we have to remember Psalm 62, verse 11, which says what? Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And so when he says once, twice, he's saying, I already told you where your power comes from. The power belongs to God. It is not in you, but it is in God. And because of Jesus Christ, we have a connection to God that enables us to be made powerful, just like he is powerful. And so the same miraculous power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is resident in you through the Holy Spirit. And so it says, once I have told you, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. And so once, twice, that repetition is a Hebraic way of emphasizing certainty and absolute truth. And so it is not a thing that we can doubt, because the absolute truth is that power belongs to God. All right. And so then it says that this is not a power that God occasionally experiences or dispenses, right? So this is not something where we're wondering if God is powerful today or if he's going to be powerful tomorrow. No, but this means that God is power. It's who he is. All right. It's intrinsic to his being. And so it means that he is powerful. And then Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Amplified Bible says this about Christ. It says that he's upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. So guess what that means? Guess what that means? All right. And so that means that the only reason why you're here today and why the world has not fallen apart is because Christ is upholding the whole universe. He's holding everything together. I know you feel like you've fallen apart, but Christ is holding you together. That is why you had not died yet. It's because Christ is holding you together. That's why you're not in the asylum today. It's because Christ is holding you together. And science tells us that the universe is constantly expanding. And so what that means, what the scripture is telling us, is that Christ is constant, even now, right? Even now, God is speaking the universe into existence. Moment by moment, God is continually speaking a creative word into the world, into the atmosphere, and the universe is expanding because of his words. And the reason why the universe is not collapsing is because of his words. And so the reason why your life does not fall apart is because of his words. All right. And so that is the rhema word, the utterance of God that is upholding, that's keeping everything together. You know the song you used to sing when you were a child? He's got the whole world in his hands. Everything about your life, your existence, is because God is holding it together by his word. He's saying, they are healed by my stripes. He's saying they have peace in me, perfect peace in me, because I am so good to them. He's constantly holding your whole world together. That's why you can't afford to disconnect. Friday, I played a rewind of a message that I said, when life is getting crazy, don't pull away from God. Because see, we have the habit of thinking that, well, I don't feel like going to church today, so I'm not going to go. I'm going to pull away. And then I don't feel like opening up my Bible today, so I'm not going to open up my Bible. I don't feel like praying. You cannot afford to disconnect yourself from God. Because if you pull away from him, then you're pulling yourself away from his upholding power, from his power that is the glue that is keeping you together. And so we need to understand that Christ is not passively holding creation. He is actively sustaining all things by the word of his power. And so we need to understand this, that if God has sufficient power to sustain the cosmos, every galaxy, star, planet, atom, and subatomic particle, then he certainly has the power to sustain your life. And so we need to understand this too, that that God requires us to have faith in him in order to access this strength. In Hebrews, what we find out, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then you go further and says, he that comes to God, says in verse 6, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so your prayers are not in vain. Your praise is not in vain. Your worship is not in vain. But if you are actively seeking God, you will find him. He will reward those that diligently and earnestly seek him, that don't let the tough moments of life put them on pause. But I'm still going to worship God, no matter how I feel in my body, no matter how my emotions feel today. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to tell him how good he is. I'm going to tell him how much he's worth it in my life. I'm going to tell him how much I need to tell other people about him. Because he's just too good to keep it to yourself. And so we need to understand that that word believe, he must believe. That word means that you trust in, you have confidence in, and you are committed to. And so you are literally saying to God, God, I'm with you in all of this. I'm not by myself, but I'm with you in all this. And so all my chips, anybody ever been to Atlantic City or Las Vegas? You go to that table, and what happened? You got to put your chips down, right? You put your chips down. And how many got that good feeling? Ooh, I got a feeling that number 7 is going to be the number. So let me put all my chips. I got a good feeling about it, right? So let me put all my chips on number 7. Then what happened? You know why? Because 7 is God's perfect number. So let me just use that, right? But then what happened? It's number 21. Oh, man. But guess what? You are willing to put all your chips on that number. Anybody ever played the pick 6 or the lotto? You have to commit to those numbers before they come out the machine, right? The ones that come out of the pick 6. You got to commit to those numbers. So let me think about Susie's birthday, and let me see. I got $5 back in change today. So number 5, and then you come on now. Anybody, but you got to commit to those numbers, because if you don't commit to those numbers, you're going to be standing at that counter for a while saying, I don't know. And what's going to happen? You're going to miss your chance. Don't think Pastor Steve is advocating gambling just because I'm talking about the Las Vegas and Atlantic City and pick 6. And then don't take these numbers I just said and play them either. But I'm trying to emphasize that when it comes to gambling, you have to have some type of commitment to whatever you're going to put out, right? Whatever numbers you're going to bet on. And so with God, you are putting all your eggs in his basket and saying that whatever happens is up to you. I can't live without you. And because, see, even in Acts, Paul said that even the Greeks had to acknowledge that somehow they were connected to a divine source that they didn't know, because their altar said to the unknown God. But see, we know him. Paul said, I know him. I am in relationship with him. And said, as a matter of fact, it's in him that I move, that I live, that I have my very being. Paul was saying, he's holding me together. And so we need to understand, even Ethan got it. And so we need to understand that faith involves both. It revolves you to think. Some people think, oh, well, when I come to God, all of a sudden I stop thinking. No, you don't stop thinking. But what you do is you surrender your thinking to God. All right? So faith requires you to think, or requires intellectual assent that God exists. All right? And then it requires volitional commitment, seeking him earnestly. So I can't just think God exists and not seek him. But if I believe or think that God exists, now I have to go in the direction of my thinking. And I allow the Spirit of God then to take over. All right? And so the mechanism of accessing God's strength is parallel to how we receive salvation. So you use faith in order to receive salvation. In Ephesians 2:8, it tells us what? For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And so if faith was the mechanism by which I receive salvation in Jesus Christ, right, then what do I think about everything else in my life? Scripture tells us what? The just shall live by faith. And so we need to understand. So faith is the channel through which grace flows to us. And so faith is the channel by which strength from God flows to us. And so faith is not just a work that earns. It's not a work that earns God. You can't earn his grace, his faith. Salvation is freely given to you. While it's all on the table, not everybody is going to take. It's just like in sales, right? Every month, right? The sales managers usually tell you, you know, there's X amount of dollars on the table. I remember those meetings. We have those meetings, and the manager comes and says, there's X amount of dollars on the table. You can earn this if you do this and do that, right? But not everybody sitting in the room was willing to do what was necessary in order to take the money on the table. They thought, oh, well, I'm just going to sit and let it come to me, but not do any calls or do any follow-ups or anything like that. The same way, some people think that, okay, just because salvation is on the table, we all saved already. That ain't even what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means if I don't believe, because then even Jesus said, he says, whoever doesn't believe is already condemned. So that X's out the whole universalism approach. We are not all saved already. Salvation is accessed by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that it is God's hand is open. God's hand is open, right? And so if we have faith, then we're going to the open hand of God, because Jesus said to the fathers, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? That means that God's hand, just like a father's hand, God's hand is already open towards you. God is not like this, saying now you got to fight to get in it. He's saying here, it's there for you. When you want it, you come and get it. But you got to believe that it is for you. You got to believe that it is a finished work in your life. That God is not just trying to give you a band-aid, but this is the cure. All right? And so we need to understand that we have to actively choose faith over fear. We have to actively choose trust in God over anxiety. And so, as you've heard me say numerous times, faith is not denying reality, but it is engaging. It is engaging God and saying to God, God, you got this. All right? And so the next thing we need to understand is that, and those of you that came to Bible study on Wednesday, you got a sneak peek and heard this point already. But we need to understand something about joy. Let's look at Colossians 1:11 again. It says, what? May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So that word endurance means that, one, I am able to bear under tough circumstances. I am able to bear. So that means that the Christian life, as much as we would love to say that the Christian life is like the Staples easy button, that when life gets hard, all you got to do is go, oh yeah, I already got my easy button, so I never have to go through another thing again. No, but that word endurance, it means to remain or abide. All right, to remain under or bear up under pressure. And so it is the capacity to remain faithful under difficulty without giving up or collapsing. And I said on Wednesday that this generation needs to learn endurance, because it seemed like this generation can't take nothing. They can't, like, I mean, I never saw so many children, just because their parents bring out a belt, all of a sudden it's child abuse. So now parents are afraid to take out the belt for thinking they're going to get arrested for child abuse. They, like, there was an incident where a well-known person actually, they spanked their child. All of a sudden you see a mugshot. And it's like, when did a spanking warrant a mugshot? And it's not like they spanked the person to death. All they did was say, you did such and such, and they got arrested. But that tells you that this generation is losing their ability to actually have substance and endurance. All right, everything is surface. And so, but patience, all right? Patience, it means dealing with difficult people. Patience is dealing, so endurance is dealing, is going through difficult circumstances without collapsing. And patience is dealing with difficult people. Anybody got some difficult people in your life? But guess what? All right, so you notice how it says that patience and endurance are to be exercised with joy. Why? Does joy come after, or joy comes before? Where is joy in all of this? Joy is actually the atmosphere in which endurance and patience operate. So that means that I'm not going to wait, as the old saints used to have a song, I'm not going to wait till the battle's over. I'm going to shout while I'm going through it. And so a lot of people are under the understanding that I have endurance and patience when there is no conflict. But no, I'm going, the strength of God is experienced most visually while I'm going through stuff. All right? And so in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, it says what? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so we need to understand that faith in God's sovereign purpose produces joy even in testing, that God's strength is not primarily given to remove difficulties, but to sustain you through them. So stop freaking out. You got this. You got this because you're in Christ. And because God's grace is working in you and through you, and God is not going to let his hands off you. See, that's what we need to remember, is that as I'm going through, right? Because even in Psalm 23, and we've been repeating this the last few weeks, Psalm 23 said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod, your staff, you're with me. And so imagine as you're going through, God's hands are on your shoulders saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. That's what the rod does. The rod and the staff are tools that God uses to keep us on track. So God's hand is always on you, even though you don't feel it. That's why we gotta understand that faith is not feelings. Faith is not feelings. And so even as you're going through, you may not feel God's hand, but God's hand is on you. Then I love this because in another, and I'm getting ahead, but in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, it says this: where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths or in hell, you are there. And so that word in the Hebrew for presence, it means the face. So as I'm living my life thinking that God is not with me, God is looking right at you. Says, where can I go? Where, even when I think I'm in a dark, in a secret place, and I'll repent later, God is right there. Going, when you gonna get it? I'm looking at you right now. That's why we need to always remember that God's presence is not like the Old Testament, where the Old Testament, they had to invoke the presence of God, and it would say, and the Spirit of the Lord came on, and the Spirit of the Lord lifted. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, God's presence is always with us. And so that means that we need to understand that every single moment of our life, even when we're making stupid decisions, God's presence is still there with us, saying, why? You know better. And when you think about that, you need to understand that there's no circumstance, there's no depth, no despair, no height or of joy where God's face is turned away from you. And so this, it speaks to the theological doctrine of God's omnipresence, which means that he's fully present everywhere simultaneously. And so because we are believers and we're filled with the Spirit, it's not something that's limited to a time and space, but it's a covenant that we have with God. And it's a personal covenant that we have with God. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says this. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so while people may say they believe God and they trust God, there are a lot of believers that actually practice practical atheism. That means that intellectually, God exists, right? But functionally, I am living as if I'm alone. So if you feel, oh, God is not with it's not that God is not with you. It's just that you're not acknowledging him. And so the valley experiences of life often intensify this feeling of abandonment. That's the time where it seems like instead of it feeling like a sunshine outside, it feels like the clouds are hovering and clouding over my head. A storm is approaching. The wind is blowing everything. I mean, we had some shingles during one of the hurricanes that came off the house. That's the way we feel, right? Like we're just open to the elements. But God never leaves. And so your feelings are not indicators of God's presence. His word is. And so what we need to do is, there was a believer centuries ago, Brother Lawrence, who had a book he wrote called Practicing the Presence of God. And so what that is cultivating a continuous conversation and awareness of God throughout your day. And so I remember when I had a certain job where I had to get up very early in the morning and take the bus. And I remember as I would walk to the bus stop, I was in conversation with the Lord. I would talk to him about the scriptures. I would talk to him, and God speaks back. And he don't just speak back because, oh, well, you passed. No, he speaks back to anybody willing to talk to him. Even those times where you ask those questions in anger, God is replying to you. But in your emotions, you can't hear him because you got your ears stuffed. That's why Jesus says, what? He that has the ears to hear, let him hear. And but I remember that, and I just remember just that feeling of communion that I had with God. And it just gave me such comfort to know that I was never too far away from God's counsel. And so we need to understand that in Romans 8:37, it says what? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love how we have this encouragement that we are super conquerors. We're overwhelming victors. There was one verse of scripture in Colossians 2:15 where it says about Jesus, says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And so this is referring to a Roman practice where when Rome would have the victory over an enemy, they would have a parade where they would have the conquering general parade through the streets, captive in chains. And so Jesus defeated depression. Jesus defeated cancer. Jesus defeated schizophrenia. Jesus defeated every demonic power that would try to oppose you. So we're not trying to get victory, but we're living from a place of victory. Because if Colossians says that he disarmed, that means that all they doing now is selling wolf tickets. Anybody ever saw somebody when you were a kid in the schoolyard, and they may have been sizably the biggest person, but they could not fight? But because of their size, they tried to intimidate you until the push came to shove and they got into an actual fight and you saw them get their butts whooped. Well, that's the devil. The devil has gotten his butt whooped. And so anything he tries to throw your way now is him selling wolf tickets. He ain't got no power over you because Jesus Christ has disarmed all the powers. He disarmed all the principalities. That's why any church in a specific area ain't got to be afraid of any type of principality that's in that area. Because the drug addiction principality that think they still in charge, they just ain't get the news yet. It's just like Juneteenth, where slaves were free for a year. But Texas got it late. So some of people right now, they in a Juneteenth. And I'm telling them right now, you've been free for 2,000 years. You've been strong for 2,000 years. I know you done cried tears. I know you done screamed yourself hoarse. But you have victory through Jesus Christ. And he has given you strength for life. So that when you come against any demon, any devil, you don't have to look down, but you can look them square in the eye and say, you are defeated. And so if God is for us, who would even dare be against us? And so we need to understand that we need to live from victory, not just trying to get it. You are not fighting for it. Christ has already won. Your trials don't define you. A couple weeks ago, I told you your story is not over yet. I know you probably got the worst news you could have ever received this week, but your story is not over yet. Everything that God has planned for your life is settled. It's not up for discussion. It's not in a pending file. It is settled. And so what I need to do is I need to do what the Bible tells us to do in Luke 8. Luke 8 talks about the person that received the word, the last person, the person that received the word with a good and honest heart. And I shared on the other day that the reason why the devil is so mad at you and why he keeps trying to frustrate you and defeat you is because he knows that any accusation he brings against you has already been knocked down. It's already been refuted by God. You are not a failure. You are not worthless. You are not what the devil says you are. But you are strong. You are strong because you surrendered everything over to Christ. See, there's not room for two people on a throne. But there is only room for one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we come before you acknowledging our absolute dependence on your strength. We confess that we often try to live in our own power, and that's when we experience failure. Today, we choose faith over fear, trust over anxiety, and confidence over doubt. Strengthen us with your glorious might. Give us endurance and patience with joy. Help us to cultivate a constant awareness of your presence. And help us to live in victory. You've already secured our victory through Jesus Christ. And so we declare that your power is sufficient for every challenge that we face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise. Lord God, we just thank you right now for those that they are understanding that you've given them strength for life. Strength over every challenge. Jesus said in John 16:33, that in this world we would have trials and tribulations. There'll be things that try to frustrate us, try to get us to give up, try to get us to walk away from you. But Jesus reassured us and said, be of good cheer, get happy, because we've already overcome. In Colossians 2:15, you tell us that you've already disarmed every power, every authority, every demon, every devil. And so we don't have to be afraid. But we can walk by faith and trust in you, realizing that Satan is already a defeated foe. And so, God, we thank you right now for those that have made the decision today to put their trust in you, to put their hope in you, realizing that it is in you that we move, that we live, that we have our very being, that you're holding us together through every challenge that we may face, through every loss that we may experience. You're holding us together, and you're going with us through the valley of the shadow of death. You're holding us together, Lord. You're holding our shoulders. Your hands are on us. Your face is towards us, and you're coaching us through every difficult season of our life. So, God, we thank you for that person that has decided to surrender to you, that has decided to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Because the truth is that we can never experience these benefits apart from you. So God, we thank you and we praise you right now for every committed believer that will testify to other people about what you are doing and what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be blessed and refreshed in the Lord. God bless you.
Oh my God, it was such a phenomenal service today, and we just, the word was amazing.
Were you blessed? Listen, if you were blessed, don't forget to join us again. And listen, don't join us by yourself. Make sure that you invite somebody to join us with
you. Yes, you don't want your family or friends to say, you went to Yes Lord Ministries? Oh my God, you got to be here. See you next time.
We look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye-bye.
Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today. Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1096 and the access code is 172268#. Every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, join us for our midweek Bible encounter. We're currently in the midst of our In Christ for the World Bible study series. In Christ for the World is a 15-week journey through Ephesians that helps you root your identity in Christ and practice a Jesus-shaped life in the real world. Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $ Yes Lord M. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083.
On behalf of myself, Pastor Steve Talbert, our overseers, Apostle Willie Talbert and Apostle Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministry Church family, I want to thank you for joining us and say welcome home.